would ask you to continue praying for us. I had some difficulty trying to get settled on what we needed to try to talk about this morning, and that's always a great concern, because I realize probably that a lot of times that what I think I should talk about probably is not what I should, but sometimes we just have to kind of do the best we can with that and pray that the Lord will assist us in it. There's a song in our book, it's number 252, and it's about charity, and I think that name and that term has, like lots of other things, has been taken and taken out of the real context and used for different advantages. We usually, nowadays, we think of it as being some monetary or some kind of a physical assistance to people that have a special need. And, that, you know, that's okay. It's nothing to complain about. But it's really not what the Scripture, it's not the way the word is used in the Scriptures. And it has a very special meaning. It has... something that goes beyond the grave. And that's always interesting, isn't it? Because so many things don't. Some good and some bad. But certainly everything that needs to will go beyond it. And charity happens to be one of them. Scripture tells us that faith and hope and some of these other things that have such a great value to them in our lives and in time, that at the end of time they cease to be. There's no more need for it. But Scripture tells us that charity is something that that never ends. It remains. So that in itself would cause us to want to think more in particular about that. Charity causes a lot of things to happen. I'm talking about real charity. I'm not talking about taking up a collection to give to someone that's has a particular need. I'm talking about charity as the Scriptures address that issue. And it's one of those words you just cannot make one definition and put it to it, because it involves too many things. But it's such a great thing. Well, a lot of people, and maybe the closest, if we were to use one word to define it, probably love would be as close as we could get to it. But that's not really sufficient. So we'll just leave it like it is. But charity causes some things to happen, and things that wouldn't happen were it not for that great principle. I guess one of the initial and one of the first expressions of charity probably would be when God gave His Son a people. You see, charity don't end, as I see it. When it's there, it's fixed. It cannot change. Therefore, it takes on an importance that that so many good expressions don't have. I guess, as I said, one of the first expressions that we know of of that principle being exercised is when God gave you to His Son. You know, we don't have, all we have is a reference back to that. There wasn't anybody sitting down writing these things down when they happened. In fact, it was thousands and thousands of years before anybody sat down and wrote about this. You know, people that don't believe in the direct revelation that God has with His people sometimes, I don't know how they reconcile the fact that the man that wrote the first book in the Bible, it was over 2,000 years after it had happened. And he wrote in such detail how anybody could not, how that they can deny that God worked directly with some people, some, and does it in such a way as it is evident that it was not a product of that individual. And God blessed Moses to begin writing down the scriptures. Now they had people before then that could write. And God had dealt with a lot of His people over like 1,700 years prior to that. And yet they never wrote it down. But Moses, God inspired him. God enlightened him. God watched over him. God provided him with what he needed in every way to sit down and write the scriptures, and it come out exactly like it's supposed to be. That's amazing. Charity is everlasting. A strange little word. Everlasting. Don't just mean always, but it means constantly. Everlasting. No time that it's not active. As I said, it was in the beginning. And it's always there. And you know, our faith may become clouded, and we may lose faith in things that we shouldn't. But my friend, charity remains. It's always there. Charity is the cause of a lot of things that affect you and I in our relation to God and He is to us. And it's the only thing that'll do it. They just won't, there's just nothing else that's as sure as that. It's something we can't disannul. It's something we can't change, thank God. It's something we can't initiate. It's just a very special work that God does, and it has such special benefits to it. It's why we love Him. It's always been there. It'll always be there. For Him not casting us off when we neither knew Him nor was interested in Him, yet charity worked perfect. In the beginning, like I said, all those years when God's people struggled in the world, they didn't have a written scripture. And for many years, they didn't have what we would generally classify as a prophet. They certainly had some people that prophesied of some things, but what we would generally consider a prophet, they were without that. And yet, God continued to maintain what he intended to maintain. And he kept an order. And he kept his people and took care of them through all those times. There was a time when we neither knew him, had any real true knowledge of him, and yet Charity kept order to things. One time, you know, when Christ was being so persecuted by his own, and his prayer was, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." You know, I think that prayer is resounded on a daily basis. I think that Christ is praying that prayer, and I think it's not something that's sent to him and he passes it on to the Father, because there's so many times that you and I need prayed for, my friend, that he's the only one that knows it. And he knows what the situation is. He's not waiting for somebody to inform him. But Charity just takes over. And it does its work, its perfect work. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. We love him more when he makes known to us some things that happen in this world. We have a closeness with him that Charity provides. When we don't understand, when we don't know what's going on and why and what's going to happen, we have this one thing that the Scripture tells us. Faith, hope, and all these other wonderful things we have in this life is temporal. There'll come a time when you won't need faith. There'll come a time when you won't need hope. Charity will always be there. So can we give it a definition? I can't. I can maybe understand a thing or two about that Scripture teaches. But at the same time, I realize, my friend, that it's greater than I'll ever understand this side of eternity. We love him more, more. When he makes known his purpose concerning this present world, makes us love him more, because it enlightens us to the things that he does for us on a daily basis, and how he cares for us many times when we don't even know that there's a need or danger present. Just strictly out of his charity for us. We love him yet more when he expressed that charity in person. When he became poor, that we might be rich. I call that that's one good definition of charity, isn't it? Totally unselfish. Totally committed to the welfare of his children. Both from the standpoint of the Father and the Son. I cannot imagine. It's beyond my ability to imagine, my friend, what was transpiring between God the Father and His Son. When He made those sacrifices, even when He condescended to take upon Him human flesh, I cannot comprehend what an act of charity that was toward you and I. He became poor, and yet He owned all things. But He stepped back from that, didn't He? He stepped back and He stepped down. And He became like one of His children in a sense, in a real sense. He suffered. He would have never starved to death, my friend, but somehow or another, as a man, He hungered sometime, didn't He? Now, there wasn't any danger of Him starving to death, but He experienced hunger and many other things. And it was because of strictly because of charity. He didn't need to do that to be Christ. God's charity don't extend to everybody. So there's some discretion that needs to be recognized. We know that God don't love everybody. I don't care what you've heard. God does not love everybody. There's some people that God hates. And His hate is stronger than you could possibly ever hate anything or anybody. You know, that's just as real. Certainly, it's not something that affects you as much as the love He had. But my friend, God hates evil. And there's some people in this world that God hates. And a lot of folks just can't believe it. Well, we need to believe it. There was two brothers, both of them Jews. And God hated one of them, and He loved the other. They hadn't even been born yet. Certainly there wasn't anything that they had done or had not done that would have affected that. And yet God hated one of them babies. You know, people don't like, they just don't. They need to realize, my friend, that this is God that we're talking about. And He has the power, He has the right to do what He does. And He said, I hated Esau. Now let's look at Esau a minute. Just naturally look at him. Two boys, same family. And you look at Esau, and it looked like outwardly, and if you just judged by the outward appearance of something, you would conclude that Esau was a much better person than Jacob. Jacob was, he's stirring up trouble from day one. Esau, it seemed like, was, you know, him and his daddy got along good. There wasn't any record of him going out here and doing all these horrible things. In fact, he was a hunter, and he kind of had a good relationship with his daddy that Jacob didn't have. But you see, these are natural things. And if his daddy had his way, Esau would have been the favored one. But daddy don't always have his way. Thank goodness. But you see, it didn't have anything to do with what they did or what they didn't do. That's the point. That's the point that the scripture made. That's why that it's recorded here, is that you and I might understand that there's some things, my friend, that happen that is not conditional upon what you and I do or don't do. And charity is one of them. Charity is based upon the purpose of God according to election. That's why that it was better for Jacob than it was Esau. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. That he hated the one and he loved the other. And people, they look at that in a natural, from a natural standpoint, and they say, well, that just wouldn't be right. It just wouldn't be right for God to hate one when he hadn't even been born yet, hadn't done anything. Well, to begin with, what we can always be safe in taking the position that God's right. We don't have to try to determine whether God is right or not. But there's a reason. One of them belonged to him, and the other didn't. And he hated Esau. And he loved Jacob. That the purpose of God, not the purpose of man, that the purpose of God might stand according to election. Now, the Lord's people, the world over, they have a lot of difficulty accepting that, but let's just turn it around. Do we think that you and I would have more right and more authority than God has? My friend, God would have been just regardless of what he done, because when he does something, that makes it just. There's a reason why God suffered Satan's people to exist. There's a reason why he made them. And you and I may not understand all, we may not need to understand all about that, but we need to understand, my friend, that there is a reason why God created evil. Both in the monster of Satan and in Satan's people. Paul addresses this issue about who God is merciful to, and how that his mercy is demonstrated. If God had not made Satan, if God had not made Satan and his family, then God's family would have been just as safe without it. But you see, God, He made something to give us a demonstration, and what it magnifies is His mercy to His children, my friend. It's not so you and I could understand so much about the devil and his family, but it's so that you and I would have some appreciation of what the mercy of God has done for you and I. Delivered us from those things. All because of the charity that he had. In the 21st chapter of John, Scripture, I know you've heard it 100 times. Hope you hear it another 100. 21st chapter of John in 14th, 15th verse along in there. The Lord addresses Peter. And he said, Simon, son of Jonas, you love me more than these? You know, sometimes we just knock ourselves out trying to figure out something that it really is not the point. I suppose that he's talking about the other apostle. That's a supposition on my part. But whatever it was not something that deserved their love and attention more than him. So maybe that's the reason he didn't identify it so specifically. Because it might be something different with you and me. So whatever these was, the principle's the same. And Peter quickly and honestly said, Yeah, we love you more than them. And the Lord said again, not the exact words, but the same question. And Peter answered him again, Yes, Lord. We love you more than these. And the Lord asked him 3 times. And on the last time of Peter's, I don't know what his feelings are. I suppose that he's wondering if does the Lord believe that I'm being honest? Why is he asking me so many times? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. The Lord said, feed my sheep, my lambs. I don't want to just hear you say you love me. I know what you feel. I'm not looking for information. But if you say you love me, did you feed my sheep? I don't need you to feed me. You see, God don't need anything from you and I. When they were going to defend him, this blessed old servant drew his sword and he's going to protect the Lord. And Christ told him, said, Peter, put up your sword. Don't you understand yet? But I don't need you. You need me. I don't need you. Three times he told Peter, ask him a question that really, I'm sure that as long as Peter lived, how many times he must have thought back and rehearsed that again and again and again. What charity? See, it wasn't based on his answer, was it? The question he's answering Peter, my friend, the reason he's answering it is for Peter and it's for me and you. Christ didn't need, he wasn't looking for an answer, that there was a blank there that he needed Peter to fill in for. He never needed that. Few closing remarks to, if you would like to go with me to the 1 Corinthians to the 13th chapter. Read verses 1 through 8. 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You see how important that principle is. Because charity does things that nothing else has the liberty to do. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. That's strong language. The apostle is putting such a case before us, my friend, of what charity does that nothing else could replace it. All things could not replace it. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long. You know, sometimes hope is overcome. Hope, sometimes it dies. Faith is weak sometimes. It just because of our weakness and our limitation that it just doesn't do what we need. But there's always charity there. Charity suffers long, and it's kind. It's kind. It doesn't have all these attachments that you've got to meet to qualify for it. It's very kind. It's good. Especially to those that are suffering. Charity envieth not. That, aren't we an envious people? You don't have to answer that out loud, but I know the answer. We know it's wrong sometimes, and we resist and we fight it, but let's face it. We've got that spirit within us. But it didn't come from charity, did it? It doesn't behave itself unseemly, seeking her own. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Isn't that something? You know, there's not many things in this world that evil does not have some persuasion to some degree. My friend, charity it's just immune to the devil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And I don't have to spend a lot of time on that word all for you to know what we're saying. Charity never faileth. You know, sometimes our hope fails. Our belief fails. Sometimes we fail in so many ways. But charity stands as a sentinel. It's something that God has established, my friend. And it will not fail. There are not many things that we ever think about or come in contact with that will not fail, ever. He says sometimes prophecies fail. And they do. Where there be tongues, they'll cease. And he's not talking about everybody that's got an individual thing in their mouth. But all these other things, they're going to end and they're going to fail. Where there be knowledge, it's going to vanish away. One of the old prophets talked about, he said, when I go to the grave, my tongue is silent, my heart has no feeling, my conscience is dead. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. See, our knowledge is not perfect. Our prophesying is not perfect because it's always incomplete. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. But something will not be done away with. Only those things that are in part. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now, abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. May God bless you.